Amen. And I ain't no race. I love people of color. I love white, black, blue, brown, everything. But still, we in the number. Amen. 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 So don't let nobody tell you you're not nothing. And we're going to have sometimes classes that let us to know. Y'all need to be proactive when we have opportunity to find out about ourselves so we can tell our children about who we are. Amen. With that being said, let's begin with our message. And I already know it's going to be at least two parts. Amen. We're not going to force it and rush it in and crush it in. I want us to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Now listen, I'm reading from the NLT and the Amplified translations. You might have the King James, the New King James, the NIV, and some other translation, but I'm going to be reading, I hope it's clear, from the NLT, that's the New Living Translation, and the Amplified. You can get that up on your phone, different translations, but King, it doesn't change what the New King James said. It just says it sometimes in a more better way that resonates with us. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. When you get there, say amen. The NLT says, and so, dear brothers and sisters, I plead, don't miss that. I plead with you to give your bodies to God because of all he has done for you. Let them be a living and holy sacrifice, the kind he will find acceptable. This is truly the way to worship him. Verse 2, don't copy the behavior and customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way, listen, that you think. Then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. And then the Amplified translation says, y'all with me? Amplified says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies, dedicating all of yourselves set apart as a living sacrifice. I'm reading the Bible. Holy and well-pleasing to God, which is your rational, logical, intelligent act of worship. And do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs, but be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind. God says you got to change the way you think. Stop the stinking thinking and think the way God programs us to think. By the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and ethical attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect in his plan and purpose for you. Somebody said, I didn't read all that. I said, Amplified broke it down. Got a little deeper. I didn't see all that. I'm trying to help you. Somebody said, I don't understand. That's why I'm trying to break it down so you will and can understand. You don't want a preacher, a pastor that doesn't explain and break down what's going on. That's why people say the Bible don't do nothing for me. No, the Bible does everything for you. You've got to eat, oh, taste, and see how good it is. With that being said, I want to talk around the subject or idea. This is going to be part one. Sacrificial living. Sacrificial living. Father God, we thank you. We praise you. We acknowledge your peace, your presence, and your lordship. Even now, Lord, we pray that you would bring our wandering minds and thoughts into subjection to you in the person of your Holy Spirit. Lord, help me to think like you. Holy Spirit, speak through my mouth. You know what your people need to hear, how they need to hear it. Convict, convince, and convert. You get glory, praise, and honor to yourself. We'll be ever so careful to give you back all the praise, honor, and glory. For it's in the name of Jesus that we pray. With thanksgiving always. And all of God's people said amen and amen. Somebody asked you what you heard this morning. What was the preacher talking about? Said sacrificial living. Remember that. He was talking about sacrificial living. Understand, the text says sacrificial living is a reasonable thing to be asked or required of. Why? Since God has been so good to us. Has God been good to anybody other than me this morning? Has God been good to you? I'm talking about in spite of me having to go through some stuff, God is still good. His goodness is not based on everything good happening in my life. He's good because that's who he is. Understand, the Bible says it's only reasonable because of how good God has been. You know, he woke you up this morning. He didn't have to. You know, he put a roof over your head. He didn't have to. You know, he put food on your table. He didn't have to. You know, he gave you a right mind. If you know, like me, there's some folk that I grew up with. They out their minds if they still living. They on drugs. They walking around eating out of trash cans. Guess what? Some of us used to be right there. I don't talk about people. I don't have to tell you all my business. But I ain't always been up on the pulpit looking like I'm doing fine. No, I had a rough life. Anybody other than me had a rough life? I know what it is to have and not have. I know what that is even today as I speak. The word reasonable is from a Greek word, logikos. L-O-G-I-K-O-S. It's similar to the Greek word logos. And reasonable means logical, rational, sensible, intelligent thought processing of the mind. God says, after I've done all this, it's only reasonable. It's the right thing to do. It's the intelligent thing to do. Somebody is so good to you, you don't treat them bad. If somebody does, listen, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but God gave his son to die for you and me when we weren't thinking about him. That's right. God said, after I've done that, you mean to tell me you can't do what I asked you to do? I already preached a sermon that said, why do you keep calling me Lord, Lord, Jesus said, if you don't do what I tell you to do? Stop telling people you know me if you willfully keep on disobeying me. I'm not talking about you perfect. None of us is perfect. I'm not perfect. Is anybody else not perfect other than me? I'm not perfect, but I'm trying. Is anybody trying to do? I'm trying. Don't look at my mistakes. Well, I saw him when he got mad and cussed somebody out. The pastor, preacher. I ain't got, my wife said I talk too much. I'm going to talk this much. Some years ago, I was angry in my house. Saved and angry. Saved, angry, and cuss. Is anybody else with me? I know that I'm saved. But I got so angry, thank you, Crystal. I got so ticked off that I started talking in tongues. Bleep, the bop, the bleep. Bop, the boom, bop, bop, bop. Y'all looking at me funny. No, if anybody tell the truth, they all drop the ball. Paul said, the thing I said I wasn't going to do no more, I did it. So don't act like you ain't never dropped the ball. But guess what? I don't know my wife real. She had been on the phone talking to somebody. And we thought we cut off the phone. Barrison, Elder, thought the phone was off and I was still speaking in tongues. How do you know? I didn't tell her. Somebody was saying, Pastor, hello, Pastor Pointer. I heard it on my phone, but I was so ticked off. I don't care. Bloop, the bloop. The guy said, you're an idiot. Anger, sinful anger will make you do stuff. Y'all looking at me funny. Don't tell me. I don't have to know your bit. But sinful anger will make you say things that you know you don't really want to say. But if you confess your sins, tell God, acknowledge what he already knows you did. Confess, Lord, I messed up. Forgive me. The Bible says God will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So if somebody heard me on the phone cussing, yeah, you got me here. Yeah, I'm still saved. God has forgiven me even if you won't. Oh, my God. Is that helping anybody out there? Don't let nobody keep putting you down because you're not up to their speed. What's your speed? You're still a mess. Just like me. I might be in a bigger mess, but we both a mess. One mess trying to outdo another mess. We have to be praying, helping each other. Not putting each other down. We ought to help somebody. You see your sister messing up, don't talk about it. Help her up. You see your brother messing up, don't put him down. Pick him up. If I be lifted up, let him see Jesus. Don't let them see you because they still know who you are. Who are you? Say, let's look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I'm just in the beginning here. I tell you, we'll have another part. We're almost done for the day. In other words, when we consider or think about again how much God loves us, particularly when we know he gave his son Jesus, the only reasonable, sensible thing to do for any man or woman is to live sacrificially. Yeah. Yeah. Y'all remember with John 3:16, everybody was raised in that. For God so loved, say you and me and you, that he gave his only begotten one of a kind son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Romans 5 and 8 says, while we were yet sinners, while I was running up and down 52nd Street in the hood, drinking and going into clubs and doing my whatever I do, Jesus died for me ahead of time.
That's right.
Didn't have to wait. While all my friends was hung out, strung out on drugs and alcohol. I don't know. I used to have people get angry with me because they wanted their pastor to be so elitist. But I'm a realist. I had a whole lot of friends that was strung out on drugs and alcohol. My poison was alcohol. Theirs was heroin and crack. Y'all looking at me funny. And guess what? They tried to get me to switch from my drinking to that. But even when I was sinful, the Lord said, don't you do it. If you get hooked on crack or heroin sticking in your arm, you ain't gonna be able to get out of that. So he let me keep on drinking my poison. I'm saved today, haven't drank no liquor in 40 years. And I used to drink every day from 12 years of old age. All my life I was drinking because I came from a family. That's all they did. Y'all look, I know y'all had perfect families. Mine, every time they party, they had to get high. Let me pull up my famous, this is clear, but it ain't vodka, it's water. I had to drink some of that. Yeah. So I want y'all to make sure that he up there tasting. Oh, I'm tasting off the word. The word is that I knew he was getting fired up or so. I'm fired up. The more I know about him, the talk about him, the more I know I need to know about him. When I think about the goodness of the Lord and all that he's done for me,
I can't help but shout hallelujah. I thank God. I thank God. I thank God for saving me. What about you? Anybody thank God? Anybody thank God? Am I the only one? Anybody else? Thank God for saving you.
Oh. I'm talking about sacrificial living. Y'all give me another 5 minutes. Can I get another 5 minutes? The Bible, the dictionary defines sacrifice as anything consecrated and offered to God. As believers, we need to know, or we want to know, how do I consecrate and offer myself to God as a living sacrifice? Well, first of all, let's get a little context to that. Under the old covenant, God accepted the sacrifices of animals. But they were just an indication of a future event. That event being the sacrifice of what John called the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. And because of Jesus' ultimate once for all time sacrifice on the cross. Y'all better stop acting like the cross don't mean nothing. I ain't talking about decking a crate and putting around your neck and go kill somebody. They ain't decorating that. That cross represents Jesus, what he did. He died on that cross for you and me. Without the shedding of his blood, we'd never be forgiven. Ain't nobody on earth. Everybody was sinners. God says all have sinned. You know what all means. You, me, my mother, my father, I don't care how good they have sinned. They dropped the ball. All have sinned. But in Christ, because of he paid the sin debt, we've all been forgiven. And if you want your sin debt forgiven, you've got to accept Christ. Is that making sense? You've got to accept Christ as your Savior in order to be forgiven for your sins. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, separation from God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Hebrews 9:11-15 says, so Christ has now become, listen, the high priest over all the good things that have come. He, Christ, has entered that greater, more perfect tabernacle in heaven, which was not made by human hands and is not part of this created world. With his own blood, verse 12, not the blood of goats and calves, he entered the most high holy place once for all time, and he secured our redemption forever. He paid the price. Under the old system, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer could cleanse people's bodies from ceremonial impurity. Just think how much more the blood of Christ purifies our conscience from sinful deeds so that we can worship God in truth, in spirit. I don't let nothing I've done wrong keep me from worshiping God, because I know that I confess it. Don't let the devil say, well, you just cussed somebody out on the way to church because they looked at you and gave you the finger. And I didn't say praise the Lord. I said finger back, and I was wrong. Lord, forgive me. The devil will say, you got a lot of nerve to go into church and you know half the stuff the preacher's talking about. You do and mess up. But God says you still got chances. You still got time to get it right. So while you're in church, don't go in there thinking about what you should have done. Get in there and do what you should do. And that's to worship God.
That's right.
Don't waste your time coming to church, sitting and being bored. God, wish you would hurry up. Wish you would hurry up. I only came in here because my friend came in here. I wasn't coming. Let me move. I'm in trouble. That is why verse 15, he is the one who mediates a new covenant between God and people so that all who are called can receive the eternal inheritance God has promised them. For Christ died, listen, to set them free, you and I, from the penalty of the sins they had committed under that first covenant. Romans 6, 12, 18. I'm going to have to get ready to close this. Since all that God has done for us and is doing, Romans 6, beginning at verse 12, says, do not let sin control the way you live. Do not give in to sinful desires. Stop letting sin keep captivating and controlling you. Stop letting your sinful anger keep you saying stuff you know you ain't got no business saying. Verse 13, do not let any part of your body become an instrument of evil to serve sin. Instead, give yourself completely to God, for you were dead one time. Walking dead men and women, we were dead in our sins. How can I be dead? They moved around. That's because we don't know spiritual things. Dead men, you ever walk the living dead? They walk around, dead folk got movement, but they dead. So use your whole body as an instrument to do what is right for the glory of God. Verse 14 says, sin is no longer your master, for you no longer live under the requirements of the law. Instead, you live under the freedom of God's grace. Don't you know grace and mercy? Your grace and mercy has set me free. I'm living this moment. Oh my gosh. It's because of grace and mercy that you and I are living this moment. He has set us free. Your grace? No, I ain't gonna sing it. No. Y'all know the song. Somebody say, I ain't no singer, but I can hold a note. And if I get in the shower, I really sound good. It just, woo, this real sound. People sing good in the shower. Anybody want to sing that song? You want to sing that song? No. We'll sing it the next time. Thank God. Once you were slaves of sin, but now you wholeheartedly obey the God that has picked us up, turned us around, placed our feet on solid ground. Give God some praise. We'll pick up next week. There's a whole lot more to that sacrificial living. Was anybody blessed this morning? Did anybody, God speak to anybody this morning? Did God help anybody this morning? Did God let you to know no matter what they say, if you get it right with God, it's all right? Am I right about it? We're still in the process of becoming. Amen, somebody. That's